at the church, say amen.
Amen.
God is good. You may not think so this morning, but He is. When we looked out and got a glimpse of all of the snow that fell the other day, I'm sure some of you said, why us? But, you know, sometimes God has to get our attention. And maybe this is what He was trying to do, get our attention. We were just talking, one of the sisters and I, and we brought up the fact that just a little while ago, birds start falling from the sky and fish start coming up out of the waters. God knows how to get our attention when He needs to or when He wants to. So let us just take heart and let us continue to be everlastingly grateful to God that we have been blessed to be here this morning. Because we could have been somewhere else, but God has been good to us. It's so good to see all of you that are out in this weather this morning. I'm glad that you have decided to come out to the household of God, that we may worship Him in spirit and in truth. This morning, the brother read for your hearing from the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter. And he read for your hearing verses number 22 through verse number 25. We want to take note of that, those particular verses, but in particular into verse number 25, where it says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So we want to speak this morning on the everlasting word. Let us, before we speak, though, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord and our God and our Heavenly Father, it is so good to be here this morning, and we thank You that we are here. We thank You that You have given us one more stretch at our lives, O Lord, before we are called to go home. We thank You this morning, Father, for those that are here this morning. But we pray this morning for those who may not have been able to make it this morning. We just pray and ask You, O Lord, that if it be Your will, that You would bless this gathering here this morning. Bless those that are in-house. Bless those that may be on their way to the house. And bless those who couldn't get out of their own houses to get to Your house, O Lord. Thank You this morning, Father, for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. Father, we pray for those that may be sick this morning, those who are suffering the loss of loved ones this morning. We're just praying, O Heavenly Father, if it be Thy will, that You would give healing to each and every one, O Lord. We pray this morning for those who are in the audience this morning that may not be feeling their best, but they decided to come anyway. We thank You, Lord, for getting them here safely. We pray that we shall soon be leaving this place, and we pray for safety back to our homes and our places of abode, O Lord, or wherever we may be going. We thank You this morning, Father, for those who are members of the body, and we especially thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who because He died, we have the opportunity to live. We thank You this morning, Father, for the leaders in the congregation, and pray for not only them, but their families as well, that You may give unto them the strength to continue on and that the families may support them. We thank You for each and every member here this morning, O Lord. And then, my Heavenly Father, we thank You for those who are teachers and preachers and just members in general of the churches of Christ everywhere, especially those who are holding up that bloodstained banner. We thank You, O Lord, for all that You do for us. And we're praying for the parents who are raising their children this morning. We pray that they would raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. And we pray and ask You, Father, to be with these services this morning, that once we have completed these services, that things that we have done and said may be found decently and in order and acceptable in Thy sight. Dear Father in heaven, we ask all these blessings in the name of Your Son, Jesus. We ask it all. Amen. This morning, we want to speak once again on the everlasting Word. The Word of God is without a doubt the greatest and the highest authority to guide mankind. It is the only book that teaches man how to live, how to die, and how to make heaven their home. It is a collection unlike any other you've ever seen. It's made up of 66 books, yet it's all encompassed in one volume. It starts out with in the beginning, how that God was there in the creation, but it ends in the grace of our Lord be with us. The Word of God promised us everlasting life if we follow it. The everlasting Word may be found everywhere and anywhere. It is owned by many, yet is read and studied by too few. So let us explore today some of what may be found in the everlasting Word of God. In the everlasting Word of God, we preach that Word of God because it's full of truth. Look at verse number 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your soul and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure and fervent heart." Now, when you talk about truth, one of the truths that we are told there is we must learn to love each other. And I know I speak on loving each other quite frequently, but we've got to do this. Speaking of our souls being purified there and obeying the truth through the Spirit, some will tell you, some still like to tell you that the Word of God can't possibly be truth. It can't possibly be truth, nor can it be true, because it is full of contradictions. But I say, search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I guarantee you, you will not find any contradictions. And none of these contradictions that these men that talk about contradictions, can they show you any contradictions? Yet when it comes to man in the Bible, he finds fault in God's instructions. You know why he finds fault? He finds fault because it's not man's way, but instead it's God's way for man. It's not his logic, nor is not man's logic, nor man's wisdom to understand everything that God has put into his word. But he guides us to the right way and the right things, the things that we need to know. It speaks to the people of that day in 1 Peter chapter 1 here, starting at verse number 22, where he talks to the people there about that they have been purified in their hearts, but they're still having problems. And you know what? We have problems today. We have problems with church members today. Church members don't seem to grasp all that they need to grasp in order to understand the Word of God. But we must, just as Peter explained to those people, we must learn to separate ourselves from those who would not heed the truth. Look at verse number 20, if you will. "Who verily were foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." We have got to learn to accept the Word of God and quit kicking against the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is real. The Word of God is what we need to get man from earth to glory. You have not learned Christ, the text says. You have not learned Christ. You have not learned Christ. In other words, you act like you don't know Christ. And too many people in today's church act the same way. We act like we forgot who Christ was or who Christ is. We act like because He is not standing down here with us, we don't have to obey Him. We act as though that Christ was just something that was a figment of man's imagination. But God is not an imaginary being. God is real. God is so real. In other words, you've got to learn to live like Christ wants us to live, and you've got to learn to obey the Word of God. Christians, when they heard the Word of God being preached, they were taught the truth. And therefore, they must live and become devoted to Jesus. How do you become devoted to Jesus? Well, you start by obeying His will. You start by doing His will. And I know some of you are disheartened a little bit today because the weather is like it is. But you know what? This is God's weather. This is God's weather and this is God's world. He can do whatever He wants to with the weather. But you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be thanking Him just the same. The Bible is not just a set of instructions where once you have read it or once you have heard it, it may be discarded. It is instead a lifelong study of the Word of God to instruct us in proper living so that we may guide properly. Living properly. It's what God has in His Word for us to do. And if you live properly, you can die properly. But far too many of us are under the impression that when I do die, then I'll worry about it then. But I got news for you. You can't worry about anything when you die. You've got to worry about your soul before you die. Some of us have always tried to ignore or change the truths of God's Word. Know what took place back in the book of Romans in chapter 1 around about verse number 25 where the Bible said, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. But then in verse number 26 of that same text, the Bible says God gave them up. Simply put, He allowed them to reject His Word and Himself. Do you not remember that He had done that before over in the first, in the Old Testament, I should say, in the book of Numbers around chapter number 20, we find that Moses was instructed to speak to the rock because the people, the children of Israel needed water. But what did Moses do instead of speaking to the rock? He hit the rock. Now, God could have stopped him, but He didn't. And you know why I believe that He didn't? Because He had already told Moses what to do. He should not have to tell us what not to do when He tells us what to do. If I tell you to go to the store and get me a Pepsi Cola, don't call me back and tell me they got grape soda on sale. I wanted a Pepsi. So anything other than that Pepsi won't work for me. No matter what's on sale, I want the Pepsi. So when God tells us and gives us instructions on what we are supposed to do, we're not concerned about what we shouldn't do. We already know what we are supposed to do. The same is with us. When we think about the Word of God, that it being true, we must understand that the truths of God are meant for us to do and not just for us to read and pass on and just let it go by. You know, I think about sometime about my folks, my family. I think about my father who was not a member of my mother and my father who were not members of the Church of Christ. I think about the fact that they died not being members of the Church of Christ. I had not found the Church of Christ myself at that time. I had found it, but I had lost it. I had lost it. The church didn't get lost. I lost it. I left the church because I didn't feel that I needed the church. But I thank God today that I found my way back before it became too late for me to get back. I wanted to walk in and not be carried in. I want to walk out and not be carried out. Now, I know one day there's going to come a time when I shall be carried out. But until then, I want to walk upright and try to do the best that I can to live righteously. Am I going to do everything right? You better believe I'm not. Am I going to make mistakes? You better believe I am. Am I going to falter and fall? You better believe I am, and so shall and so will you. But God has left us a way. That's His Word. His Word is the everlasting truth. Watch verse number 25 again. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. That means it's everlasting. And this is the Word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Not only that, but it teaches us the truth of God. We preach it because it teaches us on prayer. There's never a bad time to pray. Somebody asked me once before, they said, when should I pray? And I just said, all the time. You pray always and all the time. People sometimes make the mistake of praying when things have gone wrong. But according to the Word, prayer is supposed to be an ongoing thing. Not simply because things are wrong. Pray when things are right as well as pray for when things are not so good. Pray because we got the snow. Pray and thank God that I had an opportunity to see this snow. Pray and thank God when the sun comes out. I know you like to thank God when the sun comes out. For you like to say it's nice and warm, but thank Him even when it's raining. Thank Him even when you don't have enough food to eat, but yet you got your stomach full. Thank Him that He'll give you your next meal. Thank Him because He has done so much for us. Prayer, like I said, is an ongoing thing. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting around about verse number 16, the Bible says we are to rejoice evermore. And then it says in verse number 17, pray without ceasing. What does that mean, preacher? That means just keep on praying. Even if you're asking for something and He gave it to you, you just keep on praying anyway. A Christian should be happy enough to offer up rejoicing and praises to the Lord at all times. When I first heard about the snow coming, I didn't believe it. But when I saw it with my own eyes, then I believed it. But yet and still, I thank God for the first thing came to mind when I saw that snow. I thank God for the shelter from that snow. And then I thanked Him for the food for my body. And then I thanked Him for the goodness for my soul. I kept on thanking Him, even though the snow was piled up as tall as I am, seems like. But you think you keep on thanking God. And then somebody or a lot of people are concerned about getting the snow up. And you know what my theory is on that, getting all that snow up? I didn't put it down there, so I'll just leave it and God will move it. Oh, if you come to my house, there's a pathway to get to my door. But all that extra shoveling, I'm not doing that. God put it there, God will get it up. Isn't that right, church? He knows His own timetable. I don't know the timetable that He knows, but He knows the timetable much better than what I know. So when He gets ready to get it up, He will and He shall get it up. It's the way for man to communicate with God. That's what prayer does. In verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." You know, when you pray, and I don't mean no harm, but when you pray, you're not really doing me a favor. I don't mean nothing bad, but you're just not. That's the will of God that you pray. Now, when I ask you to pray for me, then I can be grateful to you that you prayed for me. But I'm asking you, you know what I always say, pray for me, and even if you don't pray for me, I'm going to continue to pray for you anyway. But just keep on praying for me. I need prayer. I need prayer just like you need prayer. And anybody that, if you took a poll in here, anybody that raised their hand and said that they don't need prayer, they are lying to themselves. Because everybody needs prayer. So when you think about it, prayer is the way we ask for things of God. In Matthew chapter 7, around verse number 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Ask and it shall be given." Now, since I can't call Jesus on the telephone, I've got to reach Him through prayer. Isn't that right, church? Since I can't text Jesus, I've got to ask Him through prayer. Since He doesn't do tweeting, I can't tweet Him, right? And since, most of all, He doesn't do email, which I can do a little bit, I can't email Him, so I've got to pray to Him. But then in Matthew chapter 21, around about verse number 22, watch what the Bible says. "All things, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Well, preacher, I know what the Bible says. I would pray more, but my knees won't allow me to. That's all right. God already knows your knees better than you know your knees. So if you can't bend down and get on your knees, stand up and pray. And if you can't stand up, stay sitting down or laying down. Prayer is from the heart. It's not about your physical position, but it's from the heart. God doesn't care about your physical limitations because He can fix those anytime He wants to, if He chooses to. So those are of no concern to God. He is most concerned with the things of, or the matters, I should say, of your heart. He wants to know what's in your heart. So when you go back to verse number 25 again, look what the Bible says. "But the word of God, of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if you're not preaching God's word, you're not really preaching. We preach the word of God because it teaches us on salvation and on love. There's a verse in God's word that most preachers know about, and they could preach on it all their lives because that one verse tells everything about the person who put Himself up for us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. "But God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Notice what He did for us. First, God commended or demonstrated His love for us. Secondly, He did this while we were yet still living in sin. And thirdly, Christ died for us. Three things happened there while we were yet sinners. Do you know that, I've told you this before, Jesus didn't have to die, but He did. Jesus didn't have to die, and so many of us just take that just so far out of context, so far out of the way, we just don't think nothing about Him giving His life up for us. But I tell you something, if Jesus Christ had not put His life up for us, ask yourself the question, where would you be today? Where would I be? Where would any of us be if God had not put His life up? What He did for us was to save us. This equates to what some may call today a knockout punch. Because the knockout punch is right here in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because He loved us. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only did He demonstrate His love, but He gave His Son while we were yet still in sin. And His Son died for us upon a hill, upon a cross. When you think about it, church, if we had to pay for how good Christ and the Lord and His Son Jesus have been unto us, could we afford it? We could not afford it because God gave us more than we could ever afford. So from this we learn the meaning of love, that God loved us because He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son that we could live and have an opportunity to the tree of life. In Acts chapter 4, somewhere around about verse number 12, this should be a very familiar text to all Christians. It gives us instructions on salvation. It tells us where we may find it and where it is not. Neither is there salvation in any other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what is that saying? That's simply saying no man can offer us salvation. No store sells salvation. The internet can't sell us salvation. Your Facebook friends can't give you salvation. There is no salvation in any other name, only through the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word that we preach today. Jesus, who was crucified, buried, and rose on the third day according to the Scriptures, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through verse number 4. So we preach from that same word today. It is a book that's worthy of our acceptance. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 20, verse number 24 and verse number 25. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withered and the flowers therefore falleth away. I tell you something, church. One day all the flowers are going to die, and one day all the grass is going to wither and be gone. As pretty as the grass is in the sunny weather, that's going to be gone one day. It's all going to wither away, and so are we. So we've got to get it right now while we can. But I tell you, when I think about it, church, and I look back at verse number 25 again, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Church, when the grass and the flowers wither away, but the word of the Lord shall be everlasting, it shall endure forever. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Church, there is no other gospel. There is but one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father and God who is above all and through all and in you all, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through about verse number 6. There is but one place to find all of this. If you want to know all about your life, if you want to know all about how to serve the Lord, if you want to know how to make your calling and election sure, you just learn to open your Bible. And a Bible is not good as a centerpiece in the house. A Bible is much better when it's read and studied, when you read and study the Word of God. What good is the Word of man when we come to the end of our lives, for they cannot serve us. Only the Word of God cannot save us. Only the Word of God can. What good is it for us to know some man in high places when all we need to know is Jesus in the highest place of all? What good is it to believe in the word of man that shall one day fade away, while the word of God shall endure forever? And when I looked up my definitions and calculations, forever is without end. Forever means no more counting tomorrows, no more concerning ourselves about time. Forever means that we shall not have to be concerned about the daylight ending. Forever and everlasting is always and forever. Do you know how long forever is? Forever means there is no end. Forever means there is a starting point, but there is no ending point. Isn't it good to know that the Word of God will last forever, church? And when you study God's Word, when you consider what God's Word teaches us, when you consider that the Word of God is the only thing that will get us from earth to glory, when you consider that the Word of God is the best thing that ever happened to us, and I know what a lot of us like to say, the best day of my life was when I got married, the best day of my life was when I bought a house, or the best day of my life is when I got my first new car. But there's something greater in your life, church. There's God's Word that will last forever. It endureth forever. And when you think about it, church, when you think about just what good is the Word of God to me, well, I tell you what good the Word of God is to you. Without it, where would we go? Where would we be? How would we make it? How would we know what God wants us to do with our lives? How would we know where I came from and give me the choices of where I can go? Without the Word of God, you just can't get these things. Oh, and I know there are men who have written and created books. I know there are men who have written and created all kind of papers on all kind of topics. But man cannot tell you what God can teach you. Man cannot tell you the best things that God has to offer for us are still to come. Man cannot give you the salvation that you can so easily find through Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, just how can I find salvation? How can I meet this man? Because I'd like to know this man. Well, you can come to Jesus by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And I know what some of us say, well, I did that all many years ago. But some of us have lost our ways. We have lost our way and we don't know which way to turn anymore. You know, when you get to a fork in the road, they say you must take one way or the other. The way that I'm speaking of now is the way of the Lord. You must take that fork in the road and say, Lord, here I am. I want to be one of your children. I want to be in the body of Christ. And I remember, long time ago, not that I'm dating myself, but I remember way back when I used to go to the old country church with my grandmother. And I remember some of the folks used to jump over the benches, knocking benches over, and I would get scared. But that was the way of their way back then. And some of them didn't know any better. But today we have a better way. That's Jesus Christ, and if you don't know Him, you need to come to know Him. And if you do know Him, you need to start doing your best for Him. And so I've given you the instructions on how you can meet Him, and I've given you the instructions that if you met Him already, but you previously went astray, you can come back home. If you want to come home, there's no better day than this day as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is called.